some things are true, whether you believe them or not. Is that true? Rick Wade reveals why we can know truth now on Probe.
Did you see the movie City of Angels? Nicolas Cage plays an angel who has taken a special interest in a surgeon named Maggie, played by Meg Ryan. Maggie's lost a patient on the operating table, and she's very upset about it. Seth, the angel, meets her in a hallway in the hospital and gets her to talk about the loss. Here's a snippet of the conversation.
People die.
Not on my table.
People die when their bodies give out.
It's my job to keep their bodies from giving out, or what am I doing here?
It wasn't your fault, Maggie.
I wanted him to live.
He is living. Just not the way you think.
I don't believe in that.
Some things are true whether you believe in them or not.
What did he say? Some things are true whether you believe in them or not? Are you kidding? That's crazy talk these days. I have a right to my own opinion, and if it's not my opinion, it's not true. For me. The meaning of truth has changed in recent decades. Whereas once it meant statements about reality, today it often means what works or what is meaningful to me. We've lost confidence in our ability to know what reality is. Moral and religious discussions frequently end with, well, that's your opinion, or the more colorful, opinions are like belly buttons. Everyone has one. It's assumed that opinions can't be universally, objectively true or false. Truth is a personal possession, which is why people get so offended when challenged. What does it mean when truth is lost? In philosophy, the result is skepticism or pragmatism. In politics, power and image are what count. In morality, there's no standard above us. Consensus is the best we can hope for, or human solidarity, according to Christopher Hitchens. Justice has no sure footing. Might becomes right. In a previous program, I said we don't have to give in to either the demand for absolute certainty nor to the skepticism of our day. We can be confident in our ability to know truth, even though not exhaustively. In this program, I want to look at the nature and ground of truth, for these are of utmost importance in regard to the question of reliable knowledge.
This has been Probe with your host, Rick Wade. If you're grappling with truth, get Rick's free transcript, Truth, What It Is and Why We Can Know It, at probe.org. Then join us next time as we reclaim and proclaim that truth, God's truth, here on Probe.
What difference does it make when truth is lost? Yesterday, I named some problems in philosophy, politics, and morality. Let me add to my comments about morality. An historian at Tufts University wrote this: "The trashing of truth began as an academic vice, but the debris is now littered all over society." How can we say that things such as drug dealing, Nazism, pedophilia, sadism, or any other wickedness are wrong? It becomes, he says, like everything else in Western society today, a matter of opinion. And we are left with no moral basis for making into law some opinions rather than others, except the tyranny of the majority. One of the worst problems for a well-ordered society is cynicism. First, we say there's no truth. But then we hypocritically push our views on others as though we have the truth. Then people stop trusting each other. We become cynical. Another problem is the loss of meaningful language. If we don't think it's possible that words convey truth, words lose their objective meanings, and we start giving them our own meanings. The loss of truth is significant for Christians, too. When confidence in knowing truth is weakened, one cannot have confidence that the Bible is the true word of God. Its authority in the individual's life is weakened because what it says becomes questionable. Evangelism becomes a matter of sharing one's own religious preferences rather than delivering God's authoritative word. Bible study becomes a sharing of opinions, with none being normative. Each has his or her own opinion, and no one is supposed to say a given opinion is wrong. What is this truth thing we talk so much about? My dictionary has such definitions as genuineness, reality, correctness, and statements which accord with reality. Truth can also be a characteristic of persons and things. someone or something that is true, is genuine, or in keeping with his or its nature. And truth can refer to quality of conduct. The Bible speaks of people doing the truth rather than doing evil. To help in considering all these matters, let's look tomorrow at truth as understood in Scripture, and then on Thursday at truth considered in philosophical terms. What does the Bible teach about truth? In the Old Testament, the word most often translated true, truth, or truly is emet. This word is also translated faithfulness. Let's consider faithfulness first. For the Israelites, Yahweh was the God in whose word and work one can place complete confidence. For example, God said through Zechariah, "I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God." "The works of his hand are faithful and just," said the psalmist. "All his precepts are trustworthy." Emet also means truth as over against falsehood, as when Joshua tested his brothers to see if they were telling the truth in Genesis 42, and when the Israelites were warned to test accusations to see if they were true, Deuteronomy 13. We shouldn't conclude by these two meanings of the word that on any given occasion, truth always means both faithfulness and the opposite of falsehood. However, there's a connection between the two. Theologian Anthony Thistleton says the connection depends on the fact that when God or man is said to act faithfully, often this means that his word and his deed are one. He has acted faithfully in accordance with his spoken word. Hence, the believer may lean his whole weight confidently on God and find him faithful. In the New Testament, there's an increased focus on truth as conformity to reality and as opposed to falsehood. The Greek word aletheia means literally not hidden. When Peter was sprung from prison by an angel, he didn't know if it were real or true or a dream in Acts 12. John the Baptist bore witness to the truth in John 5. Jesus used the phrase, "I tell you the truth," four times to emphasize the correctness of what he was about to say in Luke 4, 9, 12, and 21. When Jesus said, "I am the truth," in John 14, he was identifying himself with what is ultimately and finally real. Truth in the New Testament isn't disconnected from how we live, however. We are to walk in the truth, 2 John, and we are to obey the truth, Galatians 5. One mustn't oversimplify scriptural teaching on truth. However, it's safe to say that truth in the Bible means having the correct understanding of the way things really are and living in accordance with this understanding. Yesterday, we talked about truth in Scripture. Today, I want to shift to a more philosophical approach to the subject. This is important because these are the terms according to which non-Christians think about the matter. Let's look at truth as what is real and then as true statements. First, truth is a characteristic of reality. In short, if something is real, it is true. When we say that the God of the Bible is the true God, we mean he really exists and really is God. By analogy, we might ask if a plant we see in a room is a true or real plant. We want to know if it is organic and not plastic or fabric. If we say a person has exhibited true love, we're saying the person's actions weren't motivated by anything other than concern for the object of the person's love. Second, truth is a characteristic of accurate statements or propositions. This is what we typically think of when we speak of truth. We often divide truth in this sense into the categories of objective and subjective. When we speak of objective truth, we mean that a statement truly reflects what is real or really the case, whether we believe it or not. When we speak of subjective truth, we're speaking of truth that comes from us individually. For example, the claim that French vanilla ice cream is the best tasting kind there is a subjective truth claim. Both truth as what's real and truth as objectively true statements are in crisis today. First, postmodernists say we can't know what's ultimately real. In academia, this means there's no framework for integrating the various areas of study. In everyday life, it results in fractured lives as we find ourselves having to conform to different situations without any integrating structure. Second, although truth as true statements is still acknowledged today, some important matters are considered subjective that should be acknowledged as objective, such as statements about God and morality. Christians believe we can know what is ultimately and objectively real and true because the one who is ultimately real and true has revealed himself to us. Tomorrow, let's consider what Christianity claims that gives us this confidence. Today, we finally get to the key idea of this program. Christians claim that they have the truth, a claim that is met with derision or scorn. We're tempted to point to the Bible, but critics claim that we're jumping the gun. If no one can have confidence in knowing truth, then what good is the Bible? It isn't the source that's the question. It's the very possibility of knowing truth. We need to be able to answer a simple question. Upon what basis do we believe anyone can know what's true, wherever it may be found? In a nutshell, we have what philosophical naturalism has given up. We have a metaphysical basis for knowing truth. You see, for the naturalist, there is nothing fixed behind the changing world. Three things need to be the case about the world for us to know truth: that it is real, that it is rational, and that there is something fixed behind it. And we need to be able to connect with what is around us with our senses and our reason. Christianity teaches why all this is so. Here's the key point. Knowledge of truth is possible because of the creating and revealing work of the Logos of God, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, John wrote, the Logos. In Greek philosophy, Logos was the principle of cosmic reason which was thought to give order and intelligibility to the world. John's Logos, however, is a person, not a principle. And what's more, Jesus, the Logos, is the creator of the universe. Because the universe came from a rational being, the universe is rational. Further, there is no hint in Scripture that the world is an illusion. It's just what it appears to be, real. And because we're made in God's image, we're rational beings who can know the universe. Also, we can perceive the world around us because we were created with a sensory apparatus to perceive it. But this is just knowledge of our world. What about knowledge of God? Not only has the Logos created us with the ability to know the world, he has also revealed himself in a rational and even observable way. Because of all this, it is not arrogance that is behind the Christian claim that we can know truth. We claim it because we have a basis for it. Jesus of Nazareth, the Logos of God, the Creator, has made knowledge of truth possible, knowledge of this world and of God.